Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to our new name, Spirit Therapy Radio. It's much easier to say than Spirit Therapy with Nicole. And hello, my name is Nicole Tomasini. Too redundant. So, Spirit Therapy Radio, thank you for joining me. And today we are talking about taking that leap forward. After we've done some planning, I realize that a lot of us are in this place because these past few years have been about doing our own thing and doing a new thing and figuring out what we really like to do. So now you've probably been at it for a little while. And now what? Now you're in it. Now it's going. There comes this point in time where there's no turning back. You got to do it. Or stop doing it. But you kind of can't once you get that kind of momentum going. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm going to change up the format a little bit. Usually I play a song to get us going. But I don't know. I think maybe it's better to play it during the break instead of someone else talking. So I got a little something for you at the half hour. So thank you for joining me, everyone. Gia, nice to see you and all the other guests. What should we start with? Let's start with the jitters and letting the jitters go. Everybody gets them. Doesn't matter if you're a performer, not a performer, whatever you're doing, if it's exciting and it's new and you've never done it before, you can have a little bit of a freak out. And that physical reaction can be overpowering, sure, for a lot of people, but that's something that, you know, you can work with before the time happens to be able to chill yourself during those freaky deaky moments. But no matter how chill and how much you've done it, I'm sure every performer has some sort of something. It's an energy surge before you do anything new and exciting that you got to step up to the plate. So what do you do with that energy? That's about balancing yourself, of course, but also being able to run with it, being able to use that energy to your advantage. And because it's there, it's just like adrenaline when, you know, we're running in the jungle and lions are chasing us. You need that adrenaline to go, all right, just go, feed, go, 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 go. So now that we live in a society where, you know, we're not running for our lives most of the time, at least in this country, unfortunately, I can't say the world. Because, you know, we've all been seeing the Gaza and all these things. So, you know, but no matter what you're dealing with in your life, to be able to be calm in that moment and use those feelings for your benefit instead of having them stress you out and possibly incapacitate you. So how do they do that? Well, you know, the obvious things of balancing yourself and meditating and but really it's about paying attention to how you feel. How do you feel? Do you feel nervous? Do you feel excited? Do you feel fearful? And a lot of times, especially right before you're doing something, it's all of those or a combination of them. But to be able to take a moment and really look into it instead of letting them just become this fearful wall that is not helpful. So using that, those juices flowing and putting them into a place that is helpful for you. For instance, remembering why you're doing this and that you've been guided to do this. And if you didn't love it, you wouldn't be doing it. Usually, if you're excited about it, it's because you love it. So remembering that, and remember that you're here for a reason. And you know what? Nobody's going to die. Of course, there's always those things where you could die the first time you do it. Like, you know, jumping off of a cliff or jumping out of a plane. I know they say you can't really, but you know, it's that feel, those physical dangers that's really something else. And actually, I've thought about that a lot. You know, how do you try something once or the first time when it could kill you? like those guys that do, girls too, that do flips on their bikes and, you know, the extreme sports, or even that parkour running through the city and flipping over things and jumping. I mean, that's just amazing to me. But, you know, that's not my bag, because that just sounds like, oh, my God, so much could go wrong before you even know what you're doing. But I guess you could apply that to anything. And some people may think that acting is the worst thing. Whereas for me, you know, 15 minutes before you're going on stage, you get the butterflies, you get the jitters. You're like, oh, my God, am I going to remember all my lines? How does that part go? Am I going to hit that the way it needs to be hit? And then you just have to go, okay, shh, everybody shush it. We're excited. We know what we're doing. We can do this. A little self-talk. And then 5 minutes into being on stage, or really a few seconds, a lot of times you're in it. You're just in it and you're going. That's the best entry point, I think. If you can get to that place where you know you're excited, you're using the excitement, you're not worried about what you're doing, and you just step into it. And then moment to moment, that's what we learned in acting school, moment to moment, all you're doing as an actor is walking and talking as this person in this situation at this moment, saying these words. That's it. And that's really what we're ever all doing. We're just, especially, you know, most people aren't planning to do something life-threatening physically and listening to the show. Then you already know you're doing it. You got that little bit of crazy, hallelujah for that, and you're jumping, you're going. So, but this is for the rest of us that, you know, you're starting a new job or you're creating your own business, starting a relationship, thinking about getting married. I mean, any of these things, we just can take step by step. It's really the best way to deal with it and to carry that energy through with you. And the other thing that we learned in acting school is that it's not your job to say how valuable what you're doing is, how awesome you're going to be at it, whether it's worth anything to anyone. That's not your job. Actually, you can't answer that at all because you have a different perspective. You're doing it. It's just like looking in the mirror. You're never, or pictures, you're never going to see what the rest of the world sees because it's from your perspective, always. So for you to judge it is really just a waste of time, including what you see in the mirror. I mean, because you don't really know what you're talking about. you are the observer doing this action. And the only way to observe is in the moment, moment by moment by moment. So to have that as a guide for anything that you're starting new, and, you know, a lot of times with the business, I keep bringing up the business because this is what's happening to me, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, with the business, you have plenty of time to think about it, you know, before you go to sleep, when you wake up, on the train, in the middle of the day. So, you know, there's a lot of moment to moment and there's a lot of thinking about it. So what do you do with that? And that is, sorry, I got distracted by the chat room. The tightrope walking and no net. Yes, the business. So you're working on your business and you have a lot of time to think about it. So recognize your stress level. That's something that happened to me recently, but I'll get to that also in a minute. Recognizing your stress level. How stressed out are you? How much are you thinking about everything that has to do with your business? And how much are you carrying all the time, whether you're having the words or not? It's, and then when you have to work on something else, that comes in, and then it just adds to the pile. So before you know it, you can really be on some sort of stress level that is beyond what you thought you were. And then you're starting to get distracted. You're starting to feel really stressed out and doubtful and fearful. You know, the farther down that road you go, the more those things are going to come knocking, because that's the direction that you're going in. So, I mean, it happened with me. I'll tell you what's going on. So I've been working on getting this website up all year, and I was going to do it by myself. And I did it by myself for a few months and then realized that really it's best to get a professional. So I got a professional and we've been working on it together. But of course, you still have to come up with all the content, all the pictures, make decision after decision. And since I had worked on it before, it was a little bit easier because I already had some of the pieces. So that was good. But still, you can second guess yourself and start asking too many questions that are impossible to answer from your perspective in this moment. So I noticed that I was really getting stressed out. I was distracted, and it was becoming not fun. And that's a good thing to show you that, you know, something's not right. If it's becoming a chore, this thing that you love, well, why is it such a chore? So, and also, if you're like me and you've been doing your work on keeping yourself in a good bright vibration that is tuned in to your internal guidance system, you're very aware when something isn't right. And at least for me, I'm all about, all right, well, whatever. If it's worrisome, it's bullshit. So just whatever, bullshit. And I just keep going, which definitely works. But that's where I got to a point where it was just overwhelming. And I recognized that my stress level was much higher than I had realized. And being creators and workhorses that we are as humans, we can adapt very easily and we can get used to something that is not, that doesn't need to get be gotten used to. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's harder. So finally, you know, it's amazing how the easiest question really points you in the right direction. I was like, what is stressing you out, Nicole? Why are you so stressed out about building this website? And it may seem obvious to you, and now it's obvious to me, it's the pre-launch jitters. That's it. You know, is this going to work? Is anybody going to find this? Who's going to come to my store? Not that I'm opening a store, but you know what I mean. And then I was like, oh, all right, this is what happens before you, I'm sure anyone who's got their brain screwed on, if they've started something new, they're going to freak out, at least to a certain extent, in the beginning. Is this ever going to work? What am I doing? Why did I think I could do this? So I was like, oh, okay, so that's what's happening. All right, well, we can handle this, you know, and then you can talk to yourself however you talk to yourself. But I really like examples, you know, of people that mean anything to me. And I had just watched a documentary with my mother about Nikola Tesla, master of lightning, of all things, be working on master of lightning, and how, you know, a lot of times he hit brick walls or was wondering if he was just making these things up, or is the world ever going to accept these things? Although the one thing about Tesla, at least the way they portray him, is that he always kept his eyes on the prize and he always knew that what he was doing was going to work. Even if he wasn't sure how it was going to work, he knew that there was a way to master the lightning and to master the energy that's naturally on this planet. So, and I think that's all it takes, is to just believe in what you're doing no matter what. And, you know, he's during this time of Edison is stealing everybody's ideas and calling them their own, and also doesn't want alternate current. They want direct current so that they can charge for it, which is, of course, why we get a gas bill and an electric bill every month. If we had gone with Tesla, that wouldn't be happening. But anyway, you know, so you've got those powers that be, blah, blah, blah. But even so, and obviously didn't get the recognition that he deserved in his lifetime, but like so many masters and geniuses, people don't get it until later. Now, I'm not saying that with your new business, you got to wait until, you know, 100 years before people understand, but it could be, depending on how what you're working on, you know. I mean, I think if you're Nikola Tesla, you know that what you're doing is groundbreaking. And he even said, you know, when you're a visionary and when you're a scientist, you're working on things in the future, not things really for what right now. You have to have the long sight, the long sight that may extend past your lifetime. So, but the point is the same. You're focused on what you want. You're focused on what you love to do, which is this thing. And if it's not something you love to do, then I suggest you stop right now. Really. I mean, because that the universe doesn't really, you know, and then it'll line up with things that you don't want, and it'll be more and more of a chafe and a pain in the ass. You may think you want it because of the money, blah, 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 but you have to get yourself into the right mindset, you know, for that. But anyway, maybe I should talk about that for a second. You know, if you need to do something just for money, which happens, sometimes it's helpful to just alleviate the stress. But you got to ask yourself a series of questions. How much time and energy is this going to take away from what I really want to do? And is it worth it? Yes or no? And how is this money going to change my life and make this easier? It also has to be a satisfactory answer. And then, am I going to hate every minute of it? Or is it something that I can just coast through? You know, like I like doing things that, you know, I didn't have to talk to people very much, almost like a security guard. I was a bartender, but it was like guarding the bottle sometimes on a slow day. But I didn't mind that because, you know, I was in a union and I was getting paid by the hour. So, you know, I don't care if you walk in or not. And that gave me plenty of time to work on what I really wanted to work on. So, you know, it served its purpose. So if you're going to do something that's not what you love, make sure it is fully worth it and going to serve its purpose, and give yourself some sort of a time frame so that you don't get stuck in something. You know, years go by and you go, oh, yeah, well, I was going to, but then. So, but right now, I think a lot of people are doing something that they really love. And that's the energy push that's happening, you know, since 2012. It's like, well, you know, screw the establishment. Forget it. Do what you really want to do. But, of course, that takes some planning. That takes some understanding. It takes some, you know, figuring out what that might be, along with the fact that all of us are changing too and incorporating more energies than were available to this planet before, anytime in the recent or far past. So that's a lot of newness and it's a lot of juggling. So being able to move with all of that and to read the chat room as well and to talk at the same time. I just keep seeing this that Gia wrote, fear creeps in to stop or try to stop. I think that's some nature crap. Yeah, interesting. That's about, you know, fear of the unknown that I think has been indoctrinated in us to a certain extent. Also survival, sure. You know, the body does its own thing. But anyway, so anyway, when you're doing something that you love, which most of us are doing now, it's that the reason is in it. Why do you want to do it? Because you love it. Why are you, you know, torturing yourself and stressing out about this? Because you care about it. Why do you care about it? Because you love it. So if those triggers are going off, you're in the right place. And of course, fear, you know, fear and doubt. How can you, I don't think you can be a thinking human being and not have fear and doubt show up. They're very natural and helpful. They're just doing their job. They're telling you all the things that are possible so that, you know, you don't get there and go, oh my God, I didn't even think that this could possibly go this way. But I think it's a testing ground for you to say, all right, well, I see you fear and I see you doubt. And of course, any of that's possible, but it's also possible that this is going to work out and it's going to be great. So thank you for sharing, but I choose this way. So it's testing your vibration. Where are you in your belief in it? Because that makes a big difference. That's whatever vibration you're starting your new thing on, it's part of the foundation. It's going to be in the fundamental building blocks of what you're doing. So I would suggest before you start anything new, get a handle on the fear and doubt. Not to say it's not going to come in, but just get a handle on it and go, all right, yeah, yeah, but it's still a good idea, and this is why, and boom, here we go. And like Tesla, keeping your eye on the prize. What's the prize? Being happy, being doing something that you love every day, working on it, even if it's difficult. Gratitude and optimism, absolutely. And optimism, sometimes people, oh, just think positive. Well, yeah, but I think hopefully we've gotten past this by now, that it's just think positive. And meanwhile, you got this trash can at the bottom of your gut that's just gathering all the things that didn't make it into the airy fairy. You know, it's going to be a fine day. Meanwhile, you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. You know, so there's got to be an awareness of all these things. And also, fear and doubt can help you, you know, you can go, oh, wow, yeah, that could happen. So what if we just go this way a little bit, like this? And then, you know, that was good guidance. And then you keep on the vibration that's going to make the thing go. It's really what it's all about. It's amazing how simple it is. Yeah, the simplest, the best teachings are the simplest. But there's a world and lifetimes and a million ways that you can apply it. And the simplest is really doing what you love and keeping that as your focus. I'm doing this because I love it. And that's it. And then with everything you do, I'm purchasing this computer so that I can do what I love. Yes, I know it's the wallet, but whatever wallet, you're going to be 10 times what you are right now, 100 times what you are right now, because I'm following what I want to do. That's why I'm buying this computer. And, you know, you can say it the other way. You can say, oh, well, people can run out and do all kinds of things and justify it because they say, well, I thought I was going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, that's why planning is important. I mean, before you run out and do any kind of action, get your head right. See if you still feel the same way about it tomorrow and the next way and next week. Especially if it's something that you're going to create from an idea that sprung in your head. It needs some gestation time. It needs some pregnancy time. So then you're starting to learn its vibration. You're starting to learn about your own vibration. And then when you get to that point where you got to take a leap and go, all right, we're really doing this? Yes, we're doing this. You want to sign at the bottom line? Yes, give me the pen. Then you can feel as confident as possible. You know, if you're over 70%, like, yes, excellent, then you got it. Then you got it. So, let's see what my notes say. Ah, yes. Something does not have to last forever to be worth it. A marriage, a business, whatever, a house. It doesn't have to be around forever for it to be exactly what needed to happen at that time. To lay off the labels of, oh, well, my marriage only lasted 5 years, so it was a failure. Whatever. I mean, did you learn anything? Did you have an awesome wedding? You know, did you have some good times and learn a little bit about what it is to communicate with somebody else? If you learn what doesn't work, that's a lot of times more important than what does work. So, you know, to allow things to be however long it's going to be, because you can't say from your point of view, your perspective, how long it's going to be. You have God within you, but you're not in God's bird's eye view. You're not looking from there. You're looking from in it. You're in the ring. So you can't say how long it's going to be. So stop asking yourself that question. Who cares? It's going to be as long as it needs to be. And that's it. And that includes marriage. That includes anything. You know, I think that marriage, that piece of paper, can be very heavy when you feel like it's got to be forever. You've made this promise that you don't know if you can keep. And again, it's just setting you up for failure, I think. I mean, you know, some people fit very nicely into it and, you know, that's, they're in heaven. But for a lot of people, that sense of freedom, and now, you know, you've taken this person's name or half is going to go to the other person, you know, there's a lot of worldly weight on a marriage. And so to make this promise in front of the government, I don't know, does that sound fun? Again, I'm not saying the marriage isn't a good thing. It's whatever it is. It's good, it's bad, whatever. But if you're getting into it, these things can feel kind of heavy. I mean, I got into it, kind of knew that it wasn't really going to be the thing for me. I had all kinds of feelings. Of course, when you're younger, you know, you're not quite sure what these feelings are. Maybe they're just cold feet, blah, blah, blah. But I couldn't think of a good reason to say no. And that's why I said yes. And I have absolutely no regrets, none whatsoever. And it was a terrible divorce, terrible. He's trying to take all kinds of things, but you know, that was also a learning and to be able to, it teaches you a lot about money and stuff that it doesn't really, you know, how much is your happiness worth? And that's the end of the story. And if other people don't get it, well, then they don't get it. But you know your happiness is the most important, so I'm either getting in or I'm getting out. I think that's the other thing when people, you know, all this compromise. If you compromise in too many directions, you don't know who you are and you blame the other person. You made me this way. I would have never if you didn't. Well, you know, that's blame. And at the end of the day, you're the one that made the decision. So, you know, to just ease off of that a little bit, that it's got to last forever, that whole idea. That's it. And then it may last forever because there's less pressure on it. There's going to be plenty of ways to understand, you know, if this is working or not. But to focus on the enjoyable times that you're having and why you love this person and what's working is going to build a certain vibration and foundation for your marriage or anything else. So, So we're 1 minute around away from the half hour mark. I'd like to play 2.5 minutes exactly of this Jack White song. It's called Top Yourself. I found it while looking. I'm a big fan of the Jack White. And if you're interested in Jack White, there's a great interview on YouTube with Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien does his own talk, non-network talk show on YouTube called Serious Jibber Jabber. And there's an interview with Jack White, which is really fascinating, talking about how he pushes himself to do things and how if there isn't a deadline, then no songs get written. So if you're coming tomorrow to record with Jack White, he may be writing the songs the night before. But, you know, some people work like that. They need constrictions and they need confinements in order to break out of that. So to learn your own thing, which is why I play this song, because, you know, what happens when you're the only one and you're doing it alone? So we'll play this and we will be back in just a couple minutes for more talk on Taking That Leap.
You're gonna top yourself when there is nobody else. How you gonna do it by yourself? Cause I ain't gonna be here to help you.
There you go. How are you going to top yourself? And what are you going to do when you got to go it alone? Let's talk about that for a minute, because I know a lot of people are doing things on their own now. And who's it up to? You. So how does that make you feel? And do you feel lonely when you feel like, oh, I got to do all this on my own? So there's a perspective. You know, it depends on how you look at it, because sometimes some things can't be done with others. Some things can, but, you know, the more work you do on your own, the better you're going to be able to play with others. And musically or anyway, because then you know yourself better. So, you know, there's a lot of stigma about, especially a woman being on her own, or a man that isn't married by a certain age, you know, what are you doing? And that's just malarkey. Just malarkey. Because at the end of the day, we're always alone. You were born alone, you're going to die alone, and nobody else is in your head but you. So just because you're physically alone, there's really no need for loneliness. Because anything anyone else can give you, you have to be able to give to yourself. You have to be able to love yourself before anyone else can. And you have to be able to do your own thing so that you can go with others that are doing their own thing. Otherwise, it becomes, you know, a dependent relationship, codependent. And that means prescription drugs, right? When you go to the regular doctor. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. So how do you rely on yourself? And the big part of relying on yourself is to know yourself, is to know how you work, know how you like to do things, and know your quirks and idiosyncrasies. And, you know, some people need to sleep till noon in order to get anything done. Some people need to take a nap 5 times a day, at least lay down. I'm one of those people. I don't know, if I wasn't in a place that I had to, that I could lie down, you know, peacefully, would I? No, of course not. It's not like I'm physically tired, but sometimes it's just easier to think about things when I don't have to hold my body up. And that's just the way I am. And, you know, when I started to realize that this is something that I do, of course, you know, my inner Nazi turns on and is just like, oh, you're not going to get anything done. You're lying down. What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, we all have that voice. You could call it what you want. But what is your answer to that voice? You got to answer that voice and be like, no, I'm lying down because I think well this way. I'm lying down because it feels good. I'm lying down because last week I got a really great idea by just lying down, so I'm going to do it again. And fear and doubt, they have to listen to it if it makes sense. Doesn't mean they're not going to ask again, but they have to listen. So learning to work with yourself and all of your random movements and thoughts, you know, when you live by yourself, there was an article in the New York Times about that there are more people living alone now in the world than ever, than society as we know it has seen. And what does that mean? And what's happening to people? Because, you know, caveman times and tribe times, you get a moment alone, it's amazing. Or there's a problem, right? So, but what happens to you? What they found was people's quirks would present themselves and become such a strong habit that if they had to live with someone else, this is the way it's going to go. Man, like, you know, to change this is to change me. And one of the things was eating, the way people eat. Are they, some people just graze 5-6 times a day. Some people, you know, wait all until the end, or they eat when they get hungry. All these different things that if you're with someone else, usually you would do together. So I find that knowing what I like to do on my own and knowing that I will have alone time later makes me play nicer with others. I can adjust to what they're doing and go along for the ride. Soul Connection is typing in here. I want to see. Relying on yourself means having physical, emotional, and spiritual street smarts. Nice. That is, you intuitively know how to engage with the realities of this world because you are in touch with your own personal guidance system. And then Gia said, I thought that was how we were created to operate. Yeah, exactly. I really like that. Having physical, emotional, and spiritual street smarts is knowing how to rely on yourself. Well said. Absolutely. You know, you kind of know the lay of the land. You know, what's a possibility and what happens if, even something as little as carrying a bag of nuts or, you know, I would say granola bar, but now I've seen that a lot of them are full of GMOs, so maybe not a granola bar. But anyway, something that is portable and won't spoil in your bag if you know that when you get hungry, you get angry. So save yourself and others by carrying a bag of nuts. So, and wow, a lot of typing. Hold on. Let's see. Know thyself. Indeed. Who and what are you? Have you touched the depths of your physical, emotional, and physical natures? Have you volunteered for hospice and helped people transition to another world? That'll show you what's important, won't it? Have you made love to lots of people and have entrained them so that you are one with them. Yeah, man, all ways of getting to know yourself. And then, coming back to the topic of taking that leap, then you can be more sure about the leap because you always come with you. And if you know you and you are comfortable with you and you understand you, then you go, all right, well, we're either here or we're there or we're going back the other way. So which one is it going to be? And then you get a clearer answer. No, man, we're going. We are going. All right. Then we all leap together, even if you're alone. Even if you're alone. And topping yourself, that should really be the only thing, but that can also be a little bit of trouble, you know, trying to one-up yourself, you know, competing with yourself can also be a detriment, just like competing with others, because, you know, you don't know moment to moment what is going to start happening. So let's talk a little in the next couple minutes. Soul Connection says, do you treat people, animals, plants, streams, and stars as equal to yourself? I do. Yeah, wow, Gia. Yeah, I mean, that's the understanding of the oneness, really. And that also can help you to understand that you're never alone and help the feeling, if you are feeling lonely, is to know that you are the same stuff as the trees and the stars and the birds and the sky and God. So you're always part of it. And that's where the vibration is about. When you understand that you're always part of it, then you want to be part of it because that's how everything is always working out in your favor. So you go with it, you follow your inner guidance system, you go with what you love, you do that, and you go down certain paths, and sometimes there's a cavern and you got to leap over it. And that's what today's show is all about, and it came up because that's what's going on with me, starting a new business. I know I'm good at spirit therapy. I know that I love to do this, and building the website with a professional showed me how easy it can be, and I'm also going with the vibration of I want to pay for services that are valuable to me because that's what I want on my website is for people to pay for services that are valuable to them. Of course, that's not the point. The point is to be able to help the world, to help themselves so that they can go out and fix the world because, you know, I realize that one person can't do everything. So, but the more healthy people we have on the planet that are happy with themselves and doing what they love, then that's where creation really happens. So that's the point, and that always gives me the butterflies and the great feeling of, you know, the jitters, the ooh, jitters, you know? So you know that that's the right thing, and that's it. And then, but then, of course, you know, you're human, so you ask yourself all kinds of other questions. You know, how is this going to work? How do people are going to find me? But again, it's all about the vibration. I don't want that vibration. I don't want to have to worry about that. So I choose not to, and I'm just going to do what I love and do it the way I love it to be and open it up to the world in, you know, sometime in August, and we'll see what happens. And that's really all you can do. Because when you know that your soul is pushing you to do this, that's why it's telling you that you love it, then you know that it's going to be for a reason. It may not be exactly what you think it's going to be. It could be way better. It could be something different, right? But you know that it's for a reason because you're following yourself. And that's where that leap of faith, that they call it, happens, needs to happen. There's got to be some sort of jump over a cavern. It's really the best thing, you know, the best analogy. You know, the real starting line. And I've been watching the BBC. They have a show called Mr. Selfridge. And it's about Selfridge department store that opened in England. And it was the first, this is a true story, it was the first department store or store in England that was open to everyone, any class, and they sold things that were controversial, you know, women's things, moving women's things to the front, you know, how do you display yourself? So, you know, from the first episode, Selfridge, she seems really confident in front of everybody, seems like the man with the plan, you know, on cloud nine with infinite funds in his pocket. And you're like, okay, soon to find out that this guy has no money, his backer's leaving him, and it actually looks like crap on paper. But every time he goes out to do it, he puts on the face. But his face is very convincing. It's not really face. It's more he switches gears. He goes, but I'm excited about this, and I'm going to show these people how I'm excited about it, and that's what's going to make it work. And he knows that that's the most important thing he could possibly do. And so he does it, even if it's difficult. And so to do that in your own life with yourself, when you have different faces, different sides talking in your head, you know, just go, but this is the vibration I want to be on. And again, you know, when you're laying the foundation, what goes in there is what's going to be in there. So why not make it, you know, cash ready and flowing and prosperous and exciting and loving and creative, all those things, you know. While you're building it, while you're putting all the pieces together, you know, oh, I need this, I need that to move over here. But to do it in that loving vibration, especially when you get worried and you're not sure what's going on. Yes, it wasn't that, are you being served? Yeah, well, that's the department store, but I don't know if they made a different one. But Mr. Selfridge, very interesting. And it's the same thing as Field of Dreams, right? If you build it, they will come. You know, I mean, and it's an interesting other side to look at it, because what was he doing in Field of Dreams? He was building a baseball field in the middle of nowhere so that ghost baseball players could come and play, and that it needed to happen. So the message was, if you build it, they will come. So that's really on a whole other level. And we're also doing that. You know, if you're building a strong vibration of what you really want, then you're calling everything that supports you closer to you. And everyone is in alignment, and everyone is riding forward and going, okay, you know, here we go. And then you got some riding backwards so that they can watch back there, you know. So to build the vibration, I mean, what's better than that? Again, you're never alone. So, and one of the last points that I'll make is the fact that we've been taught to make other people happy, and that's a losing battle. You can't make anybody happy. People may be happy by what you did, but you can't make them happy. And if you did it the exact same thing next week, it may have an opposite or not same effect. So only you can make you happy. But, you know, that's part of also, like you were saying, our nature. We're taught to please our parents. Why? So that they don't get so annoyed with us that they leave us by the side of the road and then there's no more humans, right? So that's a good thing. But still, we want to please. And we get rewards, we realize very quickly, you get rewards when you do what the bigger human wants. So then you become this like pleasing factory. And then when you want to do something different and do something new, if you try to please everybody, you're definitely, you know, I don't want to say definitely going to fail, but it's going to be rough, because everyone is never going to be pleased, and there's always going to be a naysayer. So that's you thinking that as an actress, everyone's going to love you and you're never going to get a bad review and no one's going to say you suck. I mean, that's just setting yourself up for failure. So to leave everybody else out of it, you know, talk about the greatest thing that you can do with your alone self is leave everybody else out of it. Like, you don't need it. All you need to do is focus on what you want. And when you're in alignment with your true self, what you want is never going to hurt somebody else. It's never going to be destructive to the planet. It's never going to be a negative thing when you're really, truly aligned with your loving nature. So to focus on pleasing you. And some people may say it's selfish. And some people may say, oh, well, you know, you just got handed this, or your father bought you this, and that's why you have this, or, you know, people can make all kinds of excuses as to why you're thriving and they're not. But, you know, again, let them think what you want, because people who are thriving and people who are attracted to positive lights are going to be right there with you and glad that they met you. Like, wow, yes, you're doing it too? Fantastic. You know, how can I help you? If you've created a vibration that is loving and is attracting your community. But I think that's irrelevant to say. Like, sometimes I want to make these blanket statements that are like, that fit with all the entire world. And again, you know, that's me trying to project to everyone that, of course, I want to get those nooks and crannies. You know, you don't want to make too many blanket statements. But really, you know, if you're not doing what you love, then you're probably not listening to this show. So I'm just going to say that once and for all. You know, I don't think anyone's tuning in that's an axe murderer or, you know, thinking to pollute the planet, you know. So forget them. They'll find their way or they won't. But anyway. Having that single-mindedness this caught my eye, soul connection, here be angels, here be the goddess, here be the wonder of the universe, the beauty in your heart, the magnificent dreams that swirl in your mind. That's what caught my eye, the magnificent dreams that swirl in your mind. Think about the world if everybody was doing what they really loved and was in alignment with themselves, so we could bring it to us. I think that's the next step after we get all this war business out of our system as a planet. The sooner the better, but, you know, it all has its timing. But after we stop killing each other, or there are forces in our planet that stop wanting to kill us, then we can really, it's all about love and inclusion. And then you can really see what you're all about. I mean, it's not to say we're all going to dance around in circles and play drums all day. It may be, but not as a world. Everything will still continue, and you'll still have wants and needs and dreams. That's the contrast. So, you know, to do what swirls in your mind. Cool, cool, cool. You know, Einstein came up with the theory of relativity by being bored at the patent office and staring out the window watching people run for the bus. And sometimes, some days they would make it and some days they wouldn't. And he was like, interesting, if she could just run a little faster than, you know, and boom, there you go. So definitely check out what's happening in your mind. And, you know, what do they say? It might just be crazy enough to work. For real. So, yeah. Let's see. Anything else? Soul Connection is a typer. Puts Gia to shame. But it's kind of difficult to, like, you know, to read it all. Sometimes, by the way, if you do type in a lot, I read it after the show is done, and then there's, like, no one to talk to about it, but I do read it. We know that your blanket statements are just figures of speech that reflect your own realities. Thank you. Well said. Very nice. Cool, man. Okay, so war is manufactured by men. It has always been that way. It's time for real, authentic women to step into power and guide humankind. Well, I think it's men and women, but I think it's about all of us including both energies within ourselves, the male and female side, because we all have it. The female side of us, whether you're male or female, is the one that makes the decision and says, go forth, bring this to me. And the male side is the action side. It goes, yes, I shall go forth and I shall bring it to you. And then, you know, it's just how your brain works. And male, female, you know, to be able to expand the ideas of male and female. Think of it more as like an energy that we both have. But, you know, you can say women in charge. There's Hillary Clinton running around, and I don't think she's really on the any kind of a soft, loving, sustainable, creating vibration, you know. So, and there are males that are doing great things, you know. So I just want to say that. Yeah, women are awesome. I know. But men are really awesome, too. I mean, you know, whatever. You can go around in circles with that. So, and the last thing I'll say in the last 5 minutes is deliberate creation. Deliberate creation. It's an Abraham thing. I was going to play a thing, but I thought I could just say it real quick. It was a story of a guy selling a house and or, you know, wanted this woman to sell her house to his client. And he would walk by and he would say, "You are going to sell the property to my client," and just say it every day. And he wouldn't let his mind go in any other direction but that. And it took a while, you know, a month went by. Finally, 6 weeks later, they say, "Okay, we're selling the house to you." But the idea of deliberate creation is that he didn't let his mind wander for too long into anywhere that was not on focused on what he wanted. And that's really the game, friends. That's what it's all about. Do whatever you can do to get those deliberate creations and get yourself in the vibration so that you can receive the creation that you deliberately made. Boom shakalaka. So Soul Connection says Hillary Clinton is a man in a woman's body. I mean, well, I have a strong male in me too, but you know, I totally know what you mean. anyway, thank you all for listening. Maybe I'll play that Jack White. Nah, if you want to hear it, you can always hear it in the archives or check it out, top yourself. The video was directed by Gary Oldman. I was like, wow, fascinating for just a cover Jack White concert. Amazing. So anyway, thank you so much. If you would like a spirit therapy session with me, you can contact me at Spirit Therapy with Nicole on Facebook. And yeah, have a wonderful evening. And peace and love, everybody. Thank you for joining me. And thank you, Soul Connection, for your input. And thank you, Gia, and everyone else. See you next week.